It's great to be a nerd. It's great to be a nerd. The only light we ever see is from our monitor.
We argue about comic books and internet connections. The biggest highlight of the year is the Star Trek convention.
Our turn wasn't big enough to sign up any stars, but we much better Richard, who was phased by a Borg.
Ben,
he knew Mr. Sulu.
What?
It's great to be a nerd. It's great to be a nerd.
Well, hello there, and welcome to Nerdcast episode number 18. Let me just make sure I got that number right since I messed it up. Yes, it is number 18 this week. We're excited to be back online. We have a live chat going on nerdsonsite.tv, and we do regular weekly recordings on Thursdays at 10:15 Nerd Time, 10:15 Eastern Time. And we're very excited about this week because we have some good news from a bunch of folks, and we also have a special guest today in Chris Polis, a pod leader from Lethbridge, who's been one of the key champions in the remote nerd team, so we're going to be talking about that a bit. And we unfortunately don't have Arthur, our producer, with us, so I'm running producerless here today. Let's see how well this works. Had some challenges already this morning, and look at that, we only started 3 minutes late. So I'm excited, and so what we have is Chris, as I mentioned, we have Dennis from West Virginia, and we have Patrick from Adelaide, Australia. So we've got three countries represented today. That's not so bad, eh, guys?
Excellent. Oh, yeah.
Not bad at all.
All right, so what we normally do at Nerdcast, and by the way, you can send in your request to nerdcast@nerdsonsite.com. It's an email distribution that goes to some of the regulars on this Nerdcast, and we'll potentially look at the submissions of stories that you want us to cover, and maybe tech news, maybe questions, comments. This is a Nerdcast podcast screencast designed for nerds and wannabe nerds worldwide, and we start off with good news, and the reason we start off with good news is really very simple. We're never having any difficulty in remembering and talking about the brown smelly stuff that happens in life, but it takes an effort to actually point out the good things that happen, and so we do that. We make an effort to point that out. My good news is that we had a fantastic Nerdfest, and we had a Nerdfest special podcast, so that's the number 17. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, do that. We've got some neat video and pictures, and what was most moving was that we filled up 16 Nerdmobiles of non-perishable food items for the food bank, and it went to the Salvation Army in particular in Port Huron. And Dave Everett, John Lasik are two key nerds that organized that in Port Huron, and Sanjay organized the Nerdfest events out of Windsor. And we also had incredible help from Tactical Marketing Solutions. Thank you, Lori, Kevin, and everybody there, Bernice, who made it happen. And we had some guests come from as far as Mississippi, West Virginia, Chicago, Kansas, from Ottawa, from Quebec. Don't know if we had anybody from Western Canada or Western U.S., but it was a great time had by all, and the video kind of summarizes some of the events that we had. Anyway, that's my good news. On to you, Mr. Polis.
Yeah, thanks, David. Well, my good news is last night I got a survey from one of our remote nerds, and I have to read it because this is an elderly lady, and this is what she said. The service was prompt, and Kevin Lloyd explained what he had done to remove the viruses from my computer in a manner which I could understand. I am an older person with not much computer knowledge. I would certainly recommend his services. you can't sum it up any better. You know, as remote nerds, we have to even be better at expressing normal speak to clients because we're not face to face with them. So there's already a communication challenge there, and it sounds like Kevin is doing a bang up job. He's a fairly new person on the team, and he is working on making his revenue solely as a remote nerd currently because he doesn't have a vehicle. So two thumbs up for Kevin. Yeah,
way to go, Kevin. You got it. You got it. That's excellent good news. Thank you, Chris. Very well in line with the main topic of the day too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Good choice. Mr. Dennis Husnicht, our security specialist. By the way, great security posts as of late. Well, always. But on I Am a Nerd, those of you who are nerds, make sure you go through the past security posts of Dennis's. They're always relevant. They're always about today. And my goodness, it's an education in and of itself. So, Dennis, we'd love to hear your good news.
Well, I'm going to sort of tie together your good news and Chris's. It was great being at NerdFest. I'm sorry Jason's not here this morning because it was great to be able to have some FaceTime with him. Right. We had rooms right next to each other, so we spent some time sitting down and getting some things done. That it's really hard to get that same kind of communication sometimes when you're not face-to-face.
You got it.
So that was great, and it was great to see that the remote nerd team and the security team are really at the point. Nerds on Site has really gotten to the point where these teams are ready to get some traction, and I'm excited about really offering new and better service to clients, because that's what it's about. It's really about the clients. And one of the things that I thought about as I was at NerdFest, because I thought about what ties all these people together. And of course, there's always shop talk and there's common interests. But the thing that stands out to me that really brings people together is the client focus. Everybody has that same notion of we want to provide the absolute best service that we can to clients. And that's what makes Nerds on Site exciting.
Yep, absolutely. I'm excited about that too, Dennis. And I'm ready to do a marketing piece, a press release, whatever it takes to say, look, Nerds on Site Worldwide is now offering complete comprehensive security services. And a security-focused needs assessment, if you will, is a good start. And by the way, Dennis has been doing this already with our own data center infrastructure. So he's been pointing out weaknesses, which we can now talk about because we've patched them. So thank you, Dennis. In a very responsible way, he's let us know, oops, here are some things we need to look at. And one of them was, of course, right around the time that the Bind vulnerability was made public. And so we actually just shut the box down. We virtualized it and ran the latest version of Bind. So we're all set now, right, Dennis?
Right.
Excellent. Great to hear. And we have Patrick, the guy who's always focused on building the upstairs part of our body. Patrick, good to have you.
G'day. Yes, good news. I absolutely love the fact that as nerds in a particular area, we get together virtually. In Australia here, we have a Australian pod meeting once a week, and it's just good to chat to all the guys. And, you know, for me, everything's business as usual. And then someone the other day mentioned, hey, if you want to get some more business, when are you going around to these ink recharge places, you know, where they fill your ink cartridges up right. for you and recycle them? Drop in and have a chat to those. Mm. Now, I've got two very close to where I live, and they're mom and pop shops. They're not part of a franchise, and they were the loveliest people. And they said, absolutely, we get people coming here all the time saying, I need my ink refilled, but do you know, can you come to my house and fix my printer? And of course, they can't. Or can you fix my computer? Well, they can't. They're in that shop filling up ink. That's what they do. But and I formed a partnership with a couple of these little mom and pop shops. And
excellent.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It reminds me of our early days when John and I started Nerds on Site back in 95. And our very first step of marketing ourselves was we went through every single computer shop, because back then nobody provided on-site service. And remarkably enough, most of the clone computer shops that were just at little couple hundred square feet places in little strip malls, most of them would accept our brochures, and we just stuck the brochure and we provided on-site service. They didn't. And we weren't focused on sales, so there's very little to no overlap between what they did and what we did. And that's how we started. And that's excellent, Patrick. It's a very easy way to build business. And I know so much of the focus nowadays on techies is on things like the website, things like the marketing. But what works is getting your smiley face in front of people who are also in business. And very soon everybody realizes, look, there is a market here for everybody.
Absolutely.
So it's very, very exciting, Patrick, that you're building partnerships face-to-face, which is still the most productive way to build business. That's for sure. And folks are online. We have a number of folks in the chat. Would love to have you submit as well. We'll read them off if we get to them all. We have Chris. I think Chris wasn't feeling so well, but he's listening in the chat. We'd love to hear from you, Chris. Matthew. I'm not sure if that's Matthew Shepherd from Winnipeg. And Arthur, I know, is traveling. So he's a passenger on his way to Indianapolis today. So anyway, on to topics of the day. We have what we've committed to do at the Nerdcast is one book per week that we'll feature and at least discuss. And Patrick submitted one actually on BNI or from BNI. I do have it open here. And this is going to be one of those Nerdcasts where you're going to have to be very patient because I will start reading it. It's 72 pages long. Just try to keep your attention. Just kidding. Hey, Tom Canan just joined us from Mississippi on the chat. Good to have you, Tom. And on the video, I am assuming. The Way Out. I'm assuming you've gone through this book already, Patrick. Do you want to talk about it briefly?
Yeah, absolutely. It was featured on one of the BNI podcasts. Dr. Ivan Meisner does those fairly regularly. The 7 to 10 minute podcast. Now this is a mixture of different people, not just BNI people.
Right.
They're all networking and business people and business growth people. And the last couple of times we've featured books, they've been the old classics. I thought
yes.
We'd go the other end of the spectrum this week, and this is about as new as you can get, an ebook with about a dozen articles in there. You've got them up there. Mental Toughness, Secrets of the World Class. I can't remember what the end of that one says, but The Servant Leader, very important things like that. How to Get Red Hot in a Cool Market, Comfort versus Prosperity. And the one I'll quickly talk to now, I'll jump down to Dr. Meisner's one. Networking Mixes, Break the Ice, Build Your Contacts and Grow Your Business. And this put a light bulb off in my head because I've been going to a number of Chamber of Commerce meetings and other networking mixes and stuff like that, and I'm in a room with 250 people suddenly, and it's not – I'm a computer techie. I haven't learnt these skills. And
right.
just reading this article shone a light on the dynamics of what's happening in that room and what's going on. He's got his 10 Commandments of a Networking Mixer, and we won't go through those here because it's you can get the article and have a read through them. But he goes, you can't even apply any of those if you can't walk up to someone and start talking to them, he's got diagrams here showing how when people are standing in a certain way, they're actually quite closed in. It's very difficult to chat to them. Or if they're standing in other postures, that physically they're open for someone to come up and have a chat to them. And it's just these blindingly obvious things, I think they call them, that once someone shows you, it's like it just makes so much sense. So this particular article focused on that, and all the other articles that are in there. And this is actually a good, fast read. A few minutes on each article when you've got a break. Download it, print it out, get it in your
Excellent.
Hands, and go through it.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much for that. I've got it on my box right now and where I displayed it here. So I'm definitely going to go through a summary of that. So a lot of those definitely make a whole lot of sense. We also wanted to... thank Chris Polis. He runs a really, really busy schedule. He's very much a block time individual. And Chris, I don't know if there's some place you want me to browse to as you talk to us now about the value of a remote nerd team and how we work. Pretend that we have wannabe nerds listening today and or afterwards on the recording. We'll be going through this. Give us an overview of what remote nerd is all about.
Yes, thanks, David. Well, Remote Nerd is basically a group of nerds existing within Nerds On Site, obviously, working together focused on delivering services remotely. And, you know, we meet once a week and talk about different ways to do things. So we're really strongly glued together, focused on delivering the remote nerd service. And a lot of the big value where we come in within Nerds On Site is a lot of nerds have what we call nerd care clients, where they're acting as the IT department for their client. Now, very often you can't do that on your own. Yeah. Now, you know, you can, right? But eventually you're going to reach that glass ceiling. You're going to need more backup. You're going to want to go on holidays. You're not going to know everything. And, you know, we are, as a company, very well connected, and you can go out and find individuals to help you when you reach crises. But where the remote nerd team is focused here is that we're building that relationship ahead of time in a proactive manner so that that nerd can deliver much better value to that nerd care client and not have to worry about all the little things that go on in that environment. Because, you know, as techs, right, if you ever hear a tech say, well, I know everything, well, you know, anybody in this field knows that they're not telling you the truth, right? Because it's impossible to know everything. The only way to deliver really good service is with a team. And that's where the remote nerd team is coming in. We have nerds coming to us regularly now saying, you know, help us, you know, put together a nerd care agreement. You know, how can the remote nerd team fit in this agreement to help me deliver service? You know, I want to get more nerd care clients under my belt. I need somebody to take care of the day-to-day stuff so I can move my business to the next level, right? And that's where we are. You know, we have several tools that we're using in the environment. We focus a lot on remote management and remote monitoring. We have a partnership with a company called Level Platforms. And that really helps us deliver the nerd care service to the team, because that tool just facilitates having other nerds involved in monitoring and managing sites remotely and around the world. So it's very, very good that way. We also use BombGar as well for remote access. Very nice tool. It's got wonderful capabilities. So, yeah. So
that was the funniest sneeze I've ever heard, Dennis.
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, it wasn't you? Okay.
No, it wasn't me.
No, it came all the way from down under.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. Oh, that was too funny. Sorry for the interruption, Chris. I have a question though for you, Chris. Let's say we have a new nerd on the team, and he has a specialty. Let's say he's a Microsoft a VP, what is an MVP anyway? Most valuable player. and knows maybe the desktop level stuff, but is really good at human engineering. Let's say he's gone through Dale Carnegie training and he's very comfortable speaking to people, but his technical competencies go as far as the desktop only. And he gets into a client and finds out that they need support on a Cisco router. They've got a unified threat management appliance, and they've got a small business server that needs maintenance and maybe an assessment on backup security, all of those things. And he's thinking to himself, wait, I'm part of a team now, a Nerds On Site. How would he go about then engaging? What would be the first step in engaging remote nerd team to help him with all of the competencies that he doesn't or she doesn't have?
Yeah, he can easily just send an email to remote@nerdsonsite.com, and that goes to Jason, Dennis, and myself, and we will definitely get him hooked up, or he can send an email to the entire team, and that's remotenerd@remotenerd.net, I believe. And then, you know, we always make sure that these things are taken care of. So that would be the first step. I believe you can also open a support ticket. So there's multiple ways to get a hold of us, and there's references to all of this in our Nerd Wiki as well on how to get a hold of it. And that would be the first step, you know. And I think one of the greatest things of being a nerd is that in that scenario, for that nerd, and you know, I can speak to this myself because I'm very much that kind of guy, right?
Yep.
I can do tech stuff, but I'm not a bits and bytes type nerd. And I can walk into any, and this guy can walk into any client and say, yes, we can do that. And it's simple after that. It's simple just getting the team plugged in and then moving forward, right? Sky's the limit.
You got it. Well, as an example, I can use the example that we have right here where I'm at right now at the coffee office. We have a local nerd who's here for the physical stuff. I mean, there's everything from about seven different wireless networks. There are security cameras that get recorded. There's a captive portal system. There are VoIP phones. And there's a virtualization environment. There's about four different internet connections. I mean, that's kind of the technological infrastructure here. Now we're adding streaming services to a lot of the LCD TVs around the place. And all of that is being managed by a couple of primary backup nerds on site. And then we have Alex, who's on the remote nerd team from Atlanta. He takes care of the Cisco infrastructure. We have Israel out of Bolivia on the remote nerd team, who takes care of the Windows virtualized servers. So in terms of maintaining, keeping them up to speed with the various services that are required here. And so right there is a perfect example of where one small business environment utilizes the services and support of three different nerds in different parts of the world. And the beautiful thing about remote nerd is that as long as there is a person on site, everything else can be done remotely. That's the beautiful thing, is the on-site relationship opens the door to everything possible when it comes to technology. It really is something that John and I never had in the early days, and always had to bring in competencies with us, and that was difficult. Now, the power of the team and remote nerd allows you to be truly everything you can be, everywhere you are, all the time. Yeah, exactly.
And you know, you don't even have to be shy about maybe approaching those larger clients, because you can deliver. You know, it's just as you said, David, all you need is one physical nerd on the ground, and after that, anything's possible.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's exactly
it's very good. Very good.
So here I'm speaking to potential nerds and wannabe nerds who maybe are hesitating to build their own business because they think they don't have all the technical knowledge. And that should not be a hesitation whatsoever. In fact, I would say your opportunities are bigger and better because you won't get sucked down into the technical stuff that keeps you from, you know, growing your business and growing your contacts, doing the networking, everything that Chris was just talking about, that's possible with Remote Nerd. Sorry, that Patrick was talking about in the book we're talking about earlier, is when we get too tied up in the technical stuff, it's very quick to get derailed and stop developing the business mindset and focus on the technical. There's a place for technical, and we have lots of passionate technical players. Let's use them. But those that want to build a business that is working with more customer relationship focus, there's your opportunity. Tom says, that's awesome. We and the remote nerd team are here to help. Tom, that's right. He's also on the remote nerd team. He's down from the Gulf Coast. Just an incredible guy. Did a marvelous job at hosting the last reboot we had down there. And I'll never forget that one. And the great times we had together, Tom. All right. That was the feature of Remote Nerd. I know you were looking at maybe having to split, Chris. So if you have to go, we understand. But you're also welcome to stay for the rest of it.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, David. And it was a pleasure being on. And yeah, I love it. That's great. <All right.
laughs> Good stuff, Chris. So just make sure that you send your video into Dropbox, and then Arthur can do the post production later.
All right. Thanks, David.
All right. We'll talk to you, Chris. Later. Bye now.
See you, Chris.
Bye.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I think at this point the greatest opportunities for nerds are actually people who have strong relationship building skills, good what we call front door skills, because if you've got that and a pair of hands and a pair of eyes, you have everything you need to support just about any client that's out there, because we do have, you know, we got the technical people on the back end to team up with you, and that's what the real opportunity is, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, Dennis. There's no question about that. No question. I'm more excited than ever, because every time we, you know, every time we end a year, or every time we end a Nerdfest or a reboot, I'm just realizing more and more talent on the team is available. That there, I mean, it's been a while now that we've said there is nothing that our team cannot do because of the size and the number of competencies. It is just the human relationships and presenting our capacity to a client in a way that makes them realize the value that we bring. That's our only challenge. So, go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, sorry, I'd just like to add, our value is our people. I don't remember where I saw it, but there was a video somewhere of people just walking past the camera left to right saying what they did before they were a nerd.
Right.
And the cross-section of what people did before they joined this technology company is incredible. I can't remember all of the things. Perhaps you get, well, I don't know, you can remember all of them, but the cross section of that video was just amazing. People came literally from every walk of life to join us in Nerds. It's amazing.
Yeah, that was a great video. We had a lot of fun doing that one, that's for sure. Chris Allen, I think he's in the chat. I want to make sure I feature one of the submissions that he made today as the first story, but I haven't gone through it yet in detail. But this is definitely interesting about Palm Pre. Reports users' daily actions and location. The first paragraph says, WebOS tinkerer Joey Hess has discovered some concerning information about the Palm Pre. Allegedly, the Palm Pre smartphone and presumably any future WebOS device has been programmed to transmit daily detailed usage reports and information to a server controlled by Palm Inc. on a daily basis. This information includes potentially identifiable details, including the user's physical location via specific GPS coordinates and a detailed event log that shows what applications were used on the device and for how long, including any unofficial third-party apps. This is frightening stuff, Dennis. And Chris, you're right. Definitely not so good. And Palm Pre has been getting a lot of press and a lot of sympathy about their iTunes on and off again stuff that's been happening. But now, I mean, this is not good. This is definitely not good for the privacy policy that I'd be very concerned about. I don't know if you have any other comments, Chris, that you want to post in the chat, and I'll read them back. Or Dennis, Patrick, if you have any comments about this.
Well, I have an article that in my folder that I'm going to bring up one of these weeks, basically talking about this in the broader sense, location privacy.
Yeah.
There are so many things now that can be used to pinpoint where we are and what we do, and good it's point. A whole different world in terms of, you know, that kind of privacy. And it's just something that we need to be really aware of and think about how much of that do we want to give up.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. One of the things up until now, I had a reasonable amount of security and comfort in the iPhone's location services, because if I understand it correctly, it will every single time there's an app that wants to use the location services, the GPS, it has to ask for permission, and each time you have to okay it or cancel it, and that is what gave me a sense of comfort. Because I'm thinking through it. So if it's for a picture, I always say yes, because I want the GPS coordinates, because it's great later on when I bring it into iPhoto. I've got the places feature in iPhoto that utilizes that to place it on the map. And over time, it's like, oh man, six years ago I was in such and such a location. And if you have hundreds of thousands of photos, it might be difficult to find them. But you can go to places and say, where was I? And I think the GPS coordinate in pictures is hugely valuable privately. But not so much necessarily publicly. So every time I launch an app, if it says you want location awareness, I hesitate, only if necessary. But unfortunately with the Palm Pre, that doesn't seem like they have that kind of consumer user confidence that they're going to, you know, keep that up. So let's keep on top of that for sure. But there's another story here that you submitted, I think, Dennis, on Microsoft Security Essentials, and you wouldn't you know it, not available in my country.
Actually, that was actually me.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
Yeah, Patrick.
Sorry, Patrick.
That's all right. Yes, of course. Well, I mean, this is a public beta, just following close on the heels, I assume, of a private beta. And I assume it will expand a bit more. But I was a little disappointed it wasn't available here in Australia. But also, you know, this new product from Microsoft, they're having a second run at writing and installing a virus program.
Yep.
And what is this going to do to, if it's a half decent product, what is it going to do to the virus?
Very good point.
Market. Yeah, I was trying to think of the right
Patrick.
Word. Yeah.
I'd love to have feedback from our team in the chat or feedback afterwards to nerdcast@nerdsonsite.com on this. But my take is that antivirus vendors had lots of time to get their business organized and coordinated and diversified and moved into other areas, because from the beginning they should have recognized that that eventually it would only make sense for Microsoft to embed this. Same thing when initially firewall vendors wrote firewall software. The best thing that happened for the consumer, for the customer, and at the end of the day, as Nerds on Site, eNerds, we are focused on nothing but the customer. It's not our business, it's the customer's business that we are taking care of. And it's really, really important that we recognize this, that we do things and look at things from the perspective of what's best for the customer. And for the customer to have something that's built by Microsoft and integrated into their own operating system for protection reasons is better. It's not to say that it's going to include everything. So, for example, one of the partners that we work with very closely is Nod32 or ESET, who makes the Nod32 product. From what we can see so far, the Security Essentials doesn't do nearly everything that Nod32 does. So it would still be, based on what we know so far, advisable to have the Microsoft Security Essentials and Nod32, because as we found out, multiple points of protection, provided there's no conflict, multiple points of protection is better. Having a single point of protection isn't always sufficient. But having that made by Microsoft, you know, the folks at McAfee and Norton and everywhere else, you know, they had a ride. They had a long time of high margin products, and it's a new era right now for them. Definitely a new era.
Absolutely.
All right, those were your submissions, and I think this one may be from... Is this one from Dennis?
Yes, that's for me. And this is taking a look at a different aspect of some of the social networking we've talked about in the past from the standpoint of it being a risk to intrusions and malware.
Yes.
We've taken a look at it in terms of the phishing attacks that go on in social networking sites. But this is a little bit different perspective, and to me it points out a reason why even small businesses need to have some written policies in place for their employees with regard to how to interact with social networking sites. And it's really addressing the notion of data leakage. You know, people Right. have a hard time differentiating between their personal data and the proprietary data of their employer. And if they're, particularly if they're engaging in social networking during business hours while on the job, they
right.
need to have a real awareness of what they say, what they post, even information they give out in terms of locations and what they're doing, because that can very easily contain information that is private company information.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those that are on audio only, the subject of this computerworld.com article is Execs Worry That Facebook Twitter Use Could Lead to Data Leaks. Study finds fear that tweets or Facebook posts could lead to major security nightmare. And I should at this point out and just make a very simple statement. We have, within Nerds on Site and our own team, we have very simple rules of engagement around Twitter and social networking use. And, you know, it's very, very simple. Just the stuff that you post online, just realize that it's going to live forever. And so it really only makes sense to do that what makes business sense to do, right? So we have our social networking is with a strong business focus. Well, a business focus and a cause. And at the leadership team level, we have a very strong sense of purpose when it comes to feeding the hungry children of the world. It's still 16,000 kids age 5 years or less that die, you know, every single day that could be prevented because there is actually sufficient food in the world. So anyway, you'll see stuff posts from in our post that is related to business and that noble cause, what we believe to be noble. But other than that, you know, posting other irrelevant stuff on Twitter and Facebook, I mean, you know, we're not teenagers, right? we're in business, and we're in business to provide value for those that we serve, and we effectively serve everyone. So to me, the whole social networking thing is just kind of starting to come of age, and people are starting to realize that, you know, what you had for breakfast really is relevant. Irrelevant altogether. All right. Next story here is Sophos updated a free anti-rootkit tool. Was this from you as well, Dennis?
Yes, it is. And I just thought I'd point that out to people that there are a number of free rootkit detection technologies available. This is one of the ones that I use on occasion. And you know, when you get a situation where you know there's something going on, it just the computer's slow and you just can't quite figure out what's going on. You can't see anything. You run Process Explorer and you don't see anything. You run Task Manager and there's nothing there. Sometimes it's a good idea to just take one of these rootkit detection tools and run it, because they will do a pretty good job of finding hidden processes and things that have been obfuscated from the operating system.
Does anyone here know whether this is already included in the Nerd Disk, Nerd XPE? If it isn't, Arthur's not on the text chat anymore. Okay. We should get Matthew on here to talk about Nerd Disk, one of these Nerdcasts. Nerd Disk is a free tool available to nerds everywhere that essentially keeps an up-to-date ISO images with an updater that just grabs the delta changes and allows you to locally reburn ISOs of important tool sets, such as different distributions of Windows. Of course, you need to still have a legitimate license to use them and so forth, but there's Nerd XPE, which contains a lot of tools, allows you to boot live into Windows XP environment and run tools like this. So I'm sure that this is included. If not, we'll make sure that it gets updated right away.
I think from SysInternals Rootkit Revealer, I believe, is included.
Yes.
It's not just a tool, it's an arsenal of tools.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But this sounds like, I mean, if you're publishing it, Dennis, then it's got to be, we got to make sure that it's included, that's for sure. Yeah. And the next one, I'm going to start reading your subject, because Dennis is actually very good at submissions of links, but then with a good introduction title. Banking goes modern, but will this bring more opportunities to hackers? And the how high-tech is changing banks. Deposit checks with your iPhone camera, banks at cyber cafes, tech makes banking fun. I'm excited about this because it, you know, I don't know enough about this yet, but it kind of does open up the world of checks, which we're so desperately trying to leave behind us because of the delay, because of the cost. It now has the possibility of eliminating the delay and the cost when it comes to checks and the trip to the bank. If that's the case, we might be onto something here. I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah, so I think
I'm excited. So now tell me, Dennis, why I shouldn't be so excited.
Oh no, I'm excited about it too. Actually, one of the interesting parts of this was, you know, you're right. There's less and less reason to go to the bank, and so one of the ways that the banks are dealing with is they're changing what happens inside the bank. I just had one of the great things about my location is I'm literally steps from my branch office of my bank, and they closed it about 3 weeks ago because there's no reason for people to walk into the bank anymore, very little reason. You know, some of the banks that I noticed in this article, they were talking about the Umpqua Bank in Oregon, basically combining a cyber cafe. This is a brilliant idea. They have cyber cafe. They've got a coffee shop inside. They've got video and conferencing rooms that are available for people who are on the road. They've got
video stuff. The coffee office.
I was just going to say.
Bank has become the coffee office. We got to tell Charlie about this one.
This is a brilliant idea, but it is not innovation. There's a company in Canada that's been doing this for a while.
You know what's funny? I'm at the coffee office right now in London. this used to be a bank.
Is that right?
We were way ahead of the curve and didn't even know it. We turned a bank and took off the office.
Absolutely. You can even get a good sandwich there.
Yes, that's right. You can do high-quality video conferencing in HD using life-size gear. You can run podcasts, nerdcasts, you know, like this, live and record them. My goodness. I didn't realize we were so leading edge, 2 years ahead of the game. Great story. Great story indeed. All right. The next one here was that scareware. Oh, my goodness. Scareware is big business. Booming scareware is raking in $34 million a month. Panda dissects rogue security software market. This is frightening. Talk to us about this.
Well, this is, I think, you know, for those of us who are doing, you know, direct client support and on the remote nerd team, we see so much of this. I mean, anytime I see a machine that has malware on it, I almost always see some kind of rogue software on there. And, you know, people ask, well, how do they make money? What's the reason for this? And this is one of them, is that, you know, these people are stealing millions of dollars, $29 and $39 at a time from individual people who, you know, and it's the sort of thing that kind of feeds itself, because the more this goes on, the more people get concerned about malware, and the easier it is to scare them into purchasing one of these rogue products.
Oh, you know, I got to sometimes filter my thinking a little bit, but my default thought here was, okay, move your families, those you love, to a Linux or Mac desktop. But don't the whole world do it. Just the ones that we love, because we don't want the attackers to follow us. But at least there, I haven't yet seen rogueware or, you know, scareware stuff on the Mac so much. Actually, yeah. I can't think of a single one. And that's why a couple years back, I just moved everyone either to really, really lock down Windows boxes or onto Linux or Windows, just for that reason. Because that is just, even us... you know, even when antivirus 2008, 2009, when it first came out, it was even hard to tell by the techies that it was scareware, right?
Well, and the most frustrating thing that has happened is that they've now gotten pretty good at gaming the search engines, so that they actually managed to get themselves listed near the top of search results and look like legitimate products. And it's really aggravating that this kind of feeds on itself, because the more fear they create, the easier it is to hook people with these products. You know, pop up a window on somebody's machine that says you're infected. Click here to remove the infection, and that's when you get the download.
Right. Absolutely. Now just reading a text message here from Matthew. Half or about 52% of new malware strains only stick around for 24 hours or less. The amount of cataloged malware by Panda was 18 million in the 20 years from the firm's foundation until the end of 2008. That's an article from theregister.co.uk. Wow, that means that even good technology like local security protection software, UTM, may not recognize it, because if it's only around for 24 hours or less, it's there and pulled off and then takes another form and gets redeployed. That's... It all ties in too now with the people's corporate legitimate websites getting infected with malware, so that their customers and their legitimate traffic gets these drive-by installs, which we're addressing by partnering with Dassient, and we issued a press release on that, and we're getting great results. We had a customer, in fact, just a few weeks ago, Jonathan posted this on our own internal good news, where our software detected that they'd been hacked. We immediately cleaned it and informed the customer that it had happened and it was cleaned, and they weren't even aware that it was happening. So the damage was minimized, but this cat and mouse game continues. So we just have to keep on getting better and better. And it boils down to, you now got to start worrying about the security of your public website. Even if you know, you've in the past have taken your public website with medium security concerns, now that has just been raised to a higher level, where you got to make sure it's being checked and scanned every single day for potential signs of vulnerability. It just gets more and more complicated, but at the same time, I want to end this topic here, because remember, we want to end the Nerdcast on positive notes too. that all of this can be taken care of. And if you are a customer or potential customer or talking to a customer, the important thing is to let the customer know we can look after all of this in a proactive manner so that the customer does not need to concern themselves with the tech or the security concerns that come with it. We talk about these security issues openly and upfront so that the education is, so that customers are aware of the necessity of focusing dedicated attention to it. But we'll take care of making sure that that attention takes place. And that's, you know, I'm probably going right back to what Dennis wants to say about the security services we're now offering.
Well, and I was going to say that this goes back to the story that Patrick brought to us earlier, that, you know, I do believe that Microsoft does have an obligation if they're going to remain the dominant player in desktop operating systems and website browsers. They have an obligation to provide better security. And you know, I'm sorry that this is going to cut into the business of people like McAfee and Norton, but I do think that in the long run, you're right, it's much better for consumers if that's yep. integrated into the product. And hopefully Microsoft will be able to, because they have the most intimate knowledge of their own software, you know, find some better ways of hardening it against these kind of attacks, because it's you know, it frustrates me because, you know, computers are such a wonderful tool to level the playing field, to bring people information. And, you know, it's a shame that it becomes also a way to steal from people.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. We have, are just about to wrap up here, Patrick and Dennis. And I do want to end with a couple of things that are positive in nature. Google Wave, questions and answers. There's a Lifehacker article on this that was actually, did we already cover this? Because this is a June 12th date. Oh, you know what? This was submitted by Chris, and maybe it was one of the ones from a few months back that we hadn't covered yet. But anyway, keep a close eye on Google Wave, because there are now a number of nerds that have gotten their invites and are playing with it, and it really is, from what I can tell, an incredible new way of having interaction, business, social, projects, everything in one place, everything consolidated. And it really, yeah, I know Chris says we keep on missing it, so we got to talk about it some more and keep a close watch on it, because it is, the fact that it's open source and allows you to potentially run this in-house is sort of taking a different stance from the way cloud-based computing has been in the past, where Google wants to be the trustee of your data in the cloud, and not necessarily all of us are okay with that. They still have a long ways to go to earn my trust with my business data, and I think a lot of our customers feel the same way. And so having a product that is can live in the cloud but on infrastructure of your own, client's own or ours, is to me very exciting. So the fact that it's open sourced and available to run that way, that's very exciting for me. I'm really looking forward to that. And also we have Matthew. Unfortunately, that chat isn't tied to the machine that's hosted this, but BlackberryCool.com apparently has got a BlackBerry watch, a rumored BlackBerry watch. where is that? That's exciting. Very exciting if that is indeed the case. There, rumored BlackBerry watch coming soon. Very cool. Very cool.
Very Dick Tracy.
Yeah. Very cool. Just yesterday, one of the security camera solutions that we offer is at the champion is Brian Bell. Brian out of Kitchener-Waterloo is one of the pod leaders there. And he showed me as we were driving on the 401, that he was watching his home family room, kids running around screaming, audio and everything on 320 by 240 video. And it's two-way, so he can talk back and they can hear him. It's just, wow, I didn't even know you could do that with any device, never mind the BlackBerry. And it was just running over a cellular network and one of the VivoTech or whatever brand the cameras that he's running at home over an ADSL internet connection. It was brilliant. I didn't know you could do that. I mean, I knew you could do that with a computer and open up a browser. I mean, that's what we've got here as well. but from a BlackBerry. So I can just see how that's going to extend itself to the watch. Now let me see what's going on in my living room.
Yeah, that's great. You can go back to the kids and say, I saw that.
Which, by the way, we should all have that, because that is still the best way to show a customer what technology can do. If they can see it and believe it, they want it, right? And I know Brian, anywhere he goes, he told me this. That's all he does. He just shows it. And, you know, Charlie can actually watch his fish from his laptop. He can zoom in on the koi. he can count them. Anyway, lots of exciting technology out there that can change people's lives for the better, that can make us better at business, that can help us grow and learn and be more productive. And hopefully this Nerdcast and podcast is helpful to you. We would love to hear your feedback, good, bad, or indifferent. Just Lauren just joined us. Lauren, we're just about to wrap up here for today. But hopefully you'll join us again next Thursday. We have lots of special guests lined up. We're hoping that for next week we have some executives from Meraki that are going to join us. So this is the first time that we're actually bringing in external guests on video onto our Nerdcast. And Meraki is a partner of ours that we work with to deploy Wi-Fi mesh solutions in all the countries that we operate in. So it's a very exciting technology. Those of you who've tried Meraki before can attest to that. The solution is brilliant. It works for a small coffee shop that might want to have a Wi-Fi service offering to their client, maybe only 10 minutes, and after that they got to purchase, or maybe it's free all day. Maybe you want to rate limit them to a certain megabits per or kilobits per second. All kinds of options are available. Maybe you want to extend it to multiple floors, and maybe you want to run outdoor units that are solar powered. Maybe you want to run outdoor units that are power over Ethernet power. I mean, all kinds of options are available. An extremely flexible solution, and there's some success stories of how this has been done on university campuses, and we're bidding on some university campuses right now that we're hoping to deploy that way. So we're going to talk more in depth about the Meraki Wi-Fi solution at next Nerdcast. So make sure you jump in. And that way you can ask the questions directly. We're going to make sure that the guest from Meraki is going to be on the chat as well, so that they can answer some of the top questions that are being posted there. And yes, Tom says he's configuring a demo unit right now. So excellent. Thanks, guys, for joining us. For Dennis and Patrick for being on live. This, you know, there's something. When there's only three of us, there's not nearly as much energy. So from now on, it's got to be five or more. Because there's a real energy when there's five of us, right? Wouldn't you all agree? Right.
Yep,
yeah, for sure.
And I think the fact that Arthur is away is really the reason. So Arthur, you can't go away anymore Thursday mornings. All right. Thanks, guys. Here's to good business building for the next 7 days. And come back and share good news with us again. See you next week.
Take care.
See you next week.
Bye for now.
Bye.
It's great to be a nerd. It's great to be a nerd. We know the truth is out there, but we'd have to leave our room. We are the nerds in your neighborhood. Polyester's a fashion statement. But there's more room on the beach for you, cause we're locked in our basement. It's great to be a nerd, it's great to be a nerd. We like to wear colors that do not appear in nature. It's great to be a poorly dressed, fashion last, or tricking, role playing, 90 pounds, one with now, PC skin, Hunger Games, underfed genius, yes, it's